the timing, I would ask the court that you read page 15 of the FBI report. Actually, that report starts on page 14, and it's very clear that that report has to do with what happened there at the apartment. Other portions of the report, even though they are before numerically, take place with interviews that take place with the roommates, perhaps later in the day. But that portion of the report happened while the search was ongoing. And if you follow the chronology of that report, it's clear that the agents knew that there was a fifth roommate who exclusively used the basement. The fact that they were allowed to go upstairs and the mid-level doesn't matter, because everyone who lived upstairs, who slept upstairs, was there. The main level, where they were at, was clearly a common area. I would just urge the court that the basement was not a common area. Roommates had left their bicycles down there when they were using it before. Doesn't make it a common area. Doesn't give them that authority.
Mr. Jensen?
Mr. West has urged me to look at the FBI report. I expressed concerns about the nature of that report. What's the state's position relative to my
report? Your Honor, one of the concerns I have with the report that came out with regards to is that that wasn't a report authored by Agent Olson. They had several of the agents contribute to the report, and so parts of the reports were from one agent or another, and it was some type of collaborative effort, which made it very confusing to use. And it seems to be something common to the FBI reports that they aren't very clear. I would contend that that information wasn't from Agent Olson, and Agent Olson is the one that we need to look at. The preliminary hearing testimony of Agent Olson is going to be direct and poignant as to what he knew. And under the apparent authority doctrine, we look at the reasonableness of and the reasonable mistakes by an officer who had, whether they thought they had authority. And it's Agent Olson that we need to focus on, not any other FBI agent. If those FBI agents hadn't, Agent Olson is the one who spoke to Hmong, got permission. If he did not have authority, if Hmong did not have authority, Agent Olson didn't know that. And it was apparent to him, and he had that reasonable mistake standard, that we need to look at Agent Olson's standard, not the collective mind of all the FBI agents. I don't know whether or not the two agents that were in the living room had a conversation with these other roommates. If that was the case, Agent Olson was never informed. And he continued through and walked past them and was not informed of that. So he's still under the reasonable belief that he has authority to walk down into the basement area.
Do you think I should be able to review the FBI report?
I don't believe that's helpful. I think it's Agent
Or otherwise, it's lawful based on
the
fact that it's police report. It contains lots of hearsay from the roommates.
Right.
I too am concerned. I too am concerned that that's the case, particularly where they had ample opportunity and in fact did do so. Cross-examine Agent Olson with that same report at the preliminary hearing. And then we get Agent Olson who says, this is what happened. So there is, I would agree, I do think that it is troubling to have the court review that report. Because we have the cross-examining testimony of Agent Olson in the preliminary hearing testimony that could be so yes, I do agree that I'm troubled by the court reviewing the report, particularly reviewing a report that has lots of other irrelevant information as to this issue.
Okay, Your Honor, just with respect to the report, clearly the court has the authority to review this report. This is a preliminary matter, but not only that, the report is an admission of a party opponent.
It's a statement of a police officer.
The rule says a party opponent or someone associated or an agent of the party opponent. It's also there. It's a business record of law enforcement. And if
permit their admission ever.
Your Honor, you're not trying the case as a trier of fact. You're making findings of fact here, but what we're talking about is a motion to suppress evidence. Where
we're also talking about reliability, and that's really what I'm getting at.
Right.
These types of documents are being so unreliable that we don't give them to a trier of fact, and because of cross-examination, you need to be able to thoroughly cross-examine.
Right.
So the finding here is pretty important.
It is. So Agent Olson's on the stand testifying. Says, I didn't know anything about there being a fifth person, and I can take that report and show him the chronology and impeach his testimony. Granted, that wasn't done in the preliminary hearing. That wasn't an issue in the preliminary hearing. But that report is certainly available to impeach his testimony. The court has concern of double hearsay. What we're really concerned about here is whether Agent Olson was aware of that. If you're going under the state's theory that that there was apparent authority, and so it's if we're talking about Agent Olson's state of mind, and you know I can't account for the fact that
go to the apparent authority.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it does only go to the apparent.
Right. And I can't account for the fact that the FBI does sloppy police reports. I know state officers all author their own report. I can't account for that, but if they're going to do joint police reports, then they're all responsible for the content of those police reports.